Real life.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Good evening, everybody. Again, my name is Dwayne Smotherson, council member of the Third Ward. And as of today, Mayor Pro Tem, our mayor is out due to illness. And also we have council member Cusick that's out due to absence. So again, we will proceed with the council meeting today being July 11th, 2022. And this meeting officially starts at 6:35. Ms. Reek, can you give the roll call?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Here. Okay, that was a short list. Anyway, we have no changes to the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Motion by Mr. Hales and second by Councilmember Clay. All those in favor, I'm sorry, all those in, any discussion? Let's do that. Any discussion? No discussion? All those in favor say aye. No nays. All right, we approve the agenda. We do have a proclamation, and Ms. Lareed, if you could help me with this. This is a proclamation for Tom. How do you pronounce that?
I believe it's Pozak.
Okay. All right. And this doesn't need a vote. So is the proclamation going to be presented tonight, today?
No, it's going to be presented on July 19th at their concert.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure I understood that. But I do want to congratulate Mr. Pozak in reference to his retirement from the U City summer concert band. And I actually played in that many years ago. And so I do congratulate him on his retirement. So we'll move forward with approval of the minutes. We have the minutes for June 20th, 2022 regular session. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes by Councilmember Klein and second by Councilmember McMahon? Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor? No nays? All right. And we also have the minutes for June 27, 2022, study session minutes. May I get a motion to approve? Councilmember Hales and a second from Councilmember McMahon. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor? The ayes have it. Minutes from June 27, 2022, regular session minutes. Can I get a motion to approve? Councilmember McMahon, second by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All right. We have appointments to boards and commissions, and I'm going to turn this over to Councilmember Hales in the absence of Councilmember Cusick. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson. On behalf of Councilmember Cusick, I'd like to nominate Amy Gaskin to the Parks Commission.
May I get a motion, a second to that? And that is Councilmember McMahon. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor, say aye. And that is approved. Okay, we can move forward with swearing into boards and commission, and that is Kimberly Dietzler. Did I say that right? Thank you. Kimberly Dietzler to be sworn into the library board.
I, Kimberly Dietzler,
do solemnly swear that I possess all the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter of the office I am about to assume.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri. And the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Dietzler, and thank you, Ms. Reese. We're going to move on to citizen participation. And as a reminder, this is, you have 5 minutes. Please give us your name and address and make sure you hit the button on the podium when you approach that. Again, understanding that anyone that wants to speak, you have the request forms that are on the shelf by the door, and place that in the basket that's in the front right here for Ms. Reese. And we have our first and looks like right now the only speaker, and that is Mr. Gerald Tears.
Thank you, Council and Mayor Pro Tem. Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain. I have seen the presentation and the new plans for the Civic Plaza. They're quite nice. Could certainly improve the appearance of the Civic Plaza. I think they're functional. However, I have some observations and some questions. First, this is maybe slightly modified if you all do accept the modified plans that I think have been suggested. But first, why the heavy emphasis on security? I checked also other local municipalities. None of those, including Kirkwood, which is the one place that has actually had a shooting attack in the council chambers, has the sort of heavy fencing and perimeter security that we're proposing here. Why does University City uniquely need this elaborate and unfriendly protection, which may be modified, of course? Now, I assume the claim is, with perhaps some truth to it, that UCity is far more dangerous than these other suburbs. But if our community is so dangerous that even the police need special protection here, then clearly considerably more money should be applied directly towards correcting our crime problem. If excessive crime is not the reason, then why propose the massive security which no other community seems to need? However, that's the minor point. Second, and far more important, is spending over $20 million on Civic Plaza at this time the best way to improve University City? Why is this project top priority above improving UCity as a whole? Buildings cannot do that. It's high time to make improving UCity and helping UCity residents first priority. Let me remind you that this city consists of three wards. Obviously, you do know that, but it's worth reminding. It's not possible for UCity to thrive unless all three wards are doing well. Can you actually say at this present time that all three wards are doing just fine? If you cannot, and I don't think you should, then why would we spend over $20 million on Civic Plaza alone when there are serious problems needing attention and funding? A new police facility is desirable. We all agree on that, but it is not essential now. Solutions to our problems are: we have an urgent need to help Ward 3 recover from decades of neglect and decline. Don't count on the Costco to solve that. Original plan per the city manager was for the Costco project TIF to directly contribute $10 million as an initial amount towards work in Ward 3. That is now much less, a $3 million direct payment, plus some small added payments annually and taxes. That is all shown in the redevelopment agreement. It is not a secret. There is no huge Costco windfall that will cover everything. Most of the Costco taxes collected will go to the county tax pool. You may recall the $27 million difference. For every $20 collected, the city will end up getting just 50 cents, plus a bit going to parks, stormwater, and fire services. Renewal in Ward 3 needs funding and expertise. People in City Hall know this. So why is it not priority number one, ahead of over $20 million for buildings? Nobody should be under any illusions that the original $10 million was enough for Ward 3 recovery. It was always going to need grants, et cetera. With the reduced TIF funding, it will need more now. And it needs planning to be effective. Remember, recovery for Ward 3 is help for all of UCity. So I ask you again, is this the time to spend $20 million, over $20 million, just on the city government buildings? Can you actually justify this in your minds when we all know that the only way to really improve all of UCity is to get to work on Ward 3 recovery as the first and highest priority, not as some sort of side project? Doing so will require money. That should not be put behind what I would call lavish spending of over $20 million on government buildings. We spend a lot of money on architects and other consultants, but apparently we will rely on homegrown ideas and plans and minimal money for helping Ward 3. There are many national experts on the renewal of declining areas such as Ward 3 who have good track records. We need to retain some of them as consultants now, much more than we need architects. We need effective actions now, not buildings. Rethink this Civic Plaza, please. Think of the future of University City and act to preserve it, please. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Tears. All right, we're going to move forward with, we have no public hearings, and we're going to move to the consent agenda, which has one item, which is the annual renewal for road salt purchase and delivery. May I get a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. McMahon and second by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Being no discussions, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? None. So the consent agenda is approved. We will now move to city manager's report, and that is Mr. Rose.
Mayor Pro Tem and council members, this item up under the city manager's report, item K1, asks that you receive a presentation on the 2040 visioning report from the chair, Peggy Holly, who will be presenting this item. If you recall, you engaged the services of Future IQ back in 2021, as well as appointed a task force to work with the community to develop a proposed vision. And so I would turn things over to Ms. Holly at this time.
Good evening. My name is Peggy Holly. My husband Mark and I have lived at 8108 Teasdale since 1993. I had the honor of serving as the current chair of the University City Plan Commission and have had the honor of serving as chair of the Community Visioning 2040 Task Force. This evening, on behalf of the task force, I present the Community Vision 2040 report. You have in your packets the draft of the full report, as well as the slides to be presented this evening to summarize. Next, please. I get to be in charge. 1 year ago tomorrow, this council approved resolution 2021-12, establishing the Community Visioning 2040 Task Force. Thus, this community, with the help of the task force, city staff, and Future IQ, has begun the process of updating our comprehensive plan. As conventional wisdom holds, if you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? So this comprehensive planning process began with an exploration, an examination of what the community wants to look like in 2040. It can be very difficult for anyone to imagine 20 years into the future, and yet our community has. During this process, from the initial surveys and the listening sessions through the focus groups, feedback from our community has been consistently supportive of six key elements. A strong desire to incorporate intentional equity into community planning. Support for a creative approach to economic and urban development. Seeking strengthened partnerships with the school district and outside municipalities. Guiding Olive Boulevard redevelopment as an opportunity to affect social change, a desire for bold ideas in urban design, and a willingness to recognize and address environmental issues. Let's spend a few minutes going over the process implemented by Future IQ with support from city staff and from the task force. This report in your package is the result of rigorous, robust process guided by Future IQ. It is also the first step in the larger process of creating a new comprehensive plan for University City. The process can be described as occurring in four phases. First, to research, second, to explore, third, to validate, and finally, to prioritize and implement. Significant research established the foundation for the development of the vision. That research included background in demographics, population, and urbanization trends, energy, food, water, and climate change, and technology change. In addition, University City augmented this research with a series of listening sessions and a community survey. It quickly became apparent that our city's future is inextricably linked to that of the University City schools. From the framework, and so at that point, the council added a member to the task force from the school district. From that framework, created by all this data, work began on a two-session think tank to work our way through the potential scenarios for University City. We'll go into more detail regarding the scenario development, but the sessions, open to all, were well attended and included what I'll call at-large citizens, as well as members of the task force and members of the plan commission. To validate the outcomes of the think tank, 7 focus group sessions were held, each focusing on a major principle or pillar, which has come from the think tank. At this point, an additional community survey was performed, and the UCity School District helped us connect with students, those who will live with the future plans. All this was synthesized into key actions for each of the pillars, as you've seen in the draft report. Throughout this process, the emphasis has been on robust engagement of our citizens. The task force provided significant feedback to Future IQ on how to most effectively reach the community through publications, organizations, churches, businesses, and key individual influencers. The response was very much comparable to other communities our size. So if you're looking at the numbers, yes, this is very typical of the experience of other communities the size of University City. Moving through these steps has brought us through what could only be described as a mountain of data to the articulation of a shared vision for our community. The project portal is home to all of the data from the process. So you will see the 2 reports, one from the think tank and the final report, which you have in draft, the presentations made at the think tank sessions, the presentations to the focus groups, and the data visualization, which provides survey results and profiles of the respondents. So the process itself is documented in 2 major easily accessible reports. This portal is going to be available and accessible to all literally for at least 5 years. So we will have the chance to look at this data over and over again and examine it. Of those 2 reports, one is specifically on the think tank results, and the draft final report, again, it will be final after the vote this evening, that you have before you for approval tonight. Both are, again, easily available to all. So let's get into some specifics on the exploration and the validation portions of the process. It's important to note that in the very first community survey, respondents were asked, how important do you think it is to have a shared vision, an agreed future plan for the future of University City? On a 1 through 10 scale, 1 being not important at all, and 10 being extremely important, almost 2/3 of the respondents rated that as an 8 or higher. Less than 3% rated it a 3 or below. So our citizens have said, yes, this exercise envisioning is extraordinarily important for our city. Exploration or development of that shared vision and narrowing the focus of the data collected was the emphasis of the think tank sessions. In them, the participants were introduced to a scenario matrix based on the dimensions of economic trajectory, the hard stuff, right? The buildings, the zoning code, all of those things. And the community fabric, the soft stuff. They were then asked to identify what internal trends are happening or are emerging that could be game changers for the future of University City, to identify key drivers, those events, trends, developments, catalysts of forces that actively influence or cause change. The participants were asked to estimate the potential impact on both the community fabric and the built environment. The outcome of the think tank came in three pieces. What you see on the lower left-hand side here in the, if I can get to it, the lower left-hand side, 2 decades too little. That is the least desired future where there's really not much change in terms of economic trajectory or community fabric. You see an expected future in the green circle, which is where some progress is made on both. But what came out of the think tank was a preferred future in the upper right-hand corner that shows us making major progress on both dimensions. That is what our citizens determined is our preferred future. That is built on 2 key themes. Intentional equity, including housing affordability and ownership and boosting school system performance, and creative economic development, including new business activity and more neighborhood nodes to provide goods and services at a local level. As the Plan Commission would tell us, and I'm sure as Mr. Hale knows, that would be our LC district. The 6 strategic pillars required to support that preferred future, the most livable, are encouragement of those neighborhood nodes, guiding Olive Boulevard redevelopment, building sustainability and resilience, strengthening our community fabric and equity, creating an environment where youth thrive, and strengthening strategic partnerships. Now, if you go dig through all of the data on the portal, you will see that this pillar matured. In early conversations, we had lots of discussion about the relationship with Washington University, but ultimately, it grew to include not only the university, but the school district and neighboring communities as well. So recognizing there was more than one partnership needed. These pillars form the basis for the subsequent focus groups, one for each of the pillars. Yes, six separate focus groups. And in each of these group sessions, participants working in small groups were asked, what should be the overall objectives of this strategic pillar? And how do we measure success? And secondly, what are 2 to 4 specific actions that you think need to happen to enable the outcome or objectives of that strategic pillar? This resulted in 3 prioritized actions for each of those 6 pillars. And I'm not going to read them all to you. They're in your packet. But these action areas are intended to create new thinking about University City and how we build our social fabric. So in order to validate, to make sure that where we were still represented where we started and what our citizens thought were important, we also asked the participants to provide their perspectives on the importance and the urgency of action on that specific pillar. So the results that you see here on each of those 6 are way in the upper right quadrant, right? So that's an indication that each of these was perceived as being both important and that they were conveyed with a real sense of urgency to implement. This analysis helped confirm that the preferred scenario and the associated strategic pillars were elements that our community truly felt important to the future of University City. So, next steps. Again, this community, with the help of the task force, city staff, and Future IQ, has begun the process of updating our comprehensive plan. This report captures an extensive exploration of what the community wants to look like in 2040. The task force and the plan commission have reviewed this draft and determined it to be an accurate representation of our community's vision for the future. On their behalf, I recommend approval. How we get there now proceeds with the Planning Next proposal that you saw at the 27 June meeting. The comprehensive planning process will include this vision as well as other important data resulting from work accomplished by University City boards and commissions, as well as this council. The Plan Commission has already been hard at work sorting through other reports and plans that will inform the future of University City, including the sustainability plan, the bicycle and pedestrian plan, the economic development plan, the stormwater task force report with all of its appendices. It has been my honor and privilege to work with the members of this task force. There are several here in attendance this evening, and I would like to ask them to stand, please. It has been a wonderful learning experience to work with this task force and to work with Assistant City Manager Dawn Beasley and with David Burrell and Heather Brannigan of Future IQ. I think it's safe to say that we were all reminded that our citizens and our staff are passionate about University City and that the city has challenges, but that our citizens are ready to address them to create a more healthy, equitable, and livable future. Questions?
Are there any questions for Ms. Holly? And Ms. Rose, I'll let you
Mayor Pro Tem and council members. The next step would be for if the council agrees to accept this report tonight, my intention would be to place an item on your August 8th agenda for actual final consideration of the report of the 2040 visioning document. And that enables you to take some time to go through what is being recommended and formulate any questions that you might have or any suggested changes during the consideration on August the 8th.
Thank you, Ms. Rose. And thank you, Ms. Holly. Thank you for your presentation and also this the service that you provided to this city. Thank you very much. May I get a motion to accept? And I want to say this, that again, just to be clear, as Mr. Rose stated, we as a council are accepting this presentation. So may I get a motion to accept? Ms. Klein, and a second from Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, say aye. Opposed? None. All right, well, that has been accepted. Thank you.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Rose.
This next agenda item asks that the Mayor Pro Tem and Council consider a site plan that is being proposed for Crescent Plumbing. And tonight we have Dr. Wagner that I would ask to present this item. Dr. Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem Smithson, City Council members. The item before you tonight is the site plan for the Crescent Plumbing project at 6610 Olive Boulevard. This is the would be the last of many steps that the plan has gone through. It started out at the Plan Commission back on March 23rd, made its way to the City Council for the rezoning on April 25th. Rezoning part of the parcel to industrial commercial to match the other two parcels. There was a conditional use permit involved, as well as a variance that was granted to the project on April 13th by the Board of Adjustment. It's about 5.7 acres in size, one entrance on Olive Boulevard, primarily for truck traffic, and the other entrance on Vernon to accommodate the office and the showroom as well. It's about a 76,000 square foot building, so it's a good size building. And as we've talked about before, the site design primarily is driven by the MSD easement, the underground of River de Pere, if I'm not mistaken, that traverses right through the center of the site. That made things a bit more difficult for the engineers and architects. The site plan is consistent with the site plan requirements of the zoning ordinance. It is also consistent with the Olive Boulevard design guidelines addressing issues specific to the industrial district, as outlined in the guidelines, addressing circulation, access, visibility, those sorts of things. And if you haven't had a chance to read it, the applicant submitted a really nice narrative that helps it address the design guidelines as well. And we did speak with the applicant last week, Mr. Rose and I, about engaging a landscape architect using EDRST money to possibly using that money that hasn't been definite yet to come up with the landscape design to on the north side of Olive to match and coordinate with the Crescent Plumbing design on the south side of Olive. With that, there are some gentlemen here, George Stock and Ryan Carley. George Stock with Stock Engineering, Ryan Carley with Opus, and there may be some others here as well, I don't know, that would be happy to answer any questions.
With the council, any questions? Councilmember Clay.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Wagner. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the proposed design for the north side of the building? As we know, the orientation of the building, the office and the showroom will be off of Vernon. And so there'll be a long area along Olive that is not the frontage of the building. There's certainly my council colleague has expressed this, and I do share it that, you know, Olive is quite literally getting the backside of the building. And so can you talk about the design elements that will be added there to make it more appropriate to sure. what we're attempting to do throughout Olive?
Sure. I think that the landscaping will certainly help with that, as well as some accents on the building. Is that Mr. Carley with Opus might be able to better answer that question if you'd like him to speak.
I think whoever.
Mayor Pro Tem and Councilmember Clay, while he's coming to the microphone, I did want to indicate to you that is the area that we're targeting for a beautification project. So the intention is to enhance the landscaping that is being proposed in the site plan that you are considering, as well as add additional landscaping on the north side. So we had discussed before creating these bookends, one at Olive and Kingsland, and then the area of Olive and Kingsland, and then the other being at Olive and I-170, and creating really a high standard for that entire Olive Boulevard corridor. And the discussion that we had last week, because they recognized that this would be enhanced landscaping, which means an additional cost to maintain that landscaping. And I was pleased that the owners had tentatively agreed to absorb those costs. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Carley with Opus Development Company. So as was mentioned, we are planning to follow the existing Olive Boulevard design guidelines with the existing enhanced landscaping that's required per those guidelines. And then, as Mr. Rose mentioned, we will plan to work with the city and staff once the landscape architect is engaged to further enhance those through discussions and coordination with the city, in addition to architectural features that will break up that long band. This will be tilt-up construction, so there will be features where each tilt-up panel is installed, where there's a little bit of an offset in the building. And then in addition, we've enhanced the anchor at the northwest intersection of Kingsland and Olive Boulevard. We're adding some additional storefront glass there as well. It won't be the main entrance, but it won't be a solid concrete wall there. There will be some signage and some additional window features as well.
And it's my understanding that the orientation of the building, as Dr. Wagner indicated, is in large measure dictated by the easement that MSD has with the some sort of pipe or tunnel underground. And for those who are longtime Usitians may recall that the old Pete's was oriented in a similar way. Now, I'm not necessarily outside of Councilman Smothers and perhaps a couple of others. I'm not expecting anyone to necessarily remember that, but it that was brought to my attention. And I do remember that. And it's curious that a grocery store would not be oriented off the main thoroughfare, which is Olive. And so it seems like there is something to, I don't know if that easement was in place. I suspect it was when Pete's was around, but it seems like this orientation of the building is very much dictated by that easement. And it seems like that can't be figured out. Is that correct?
It's a 50 foot wide easement that MSD controls there. Nothing can be built over. It's basically a culvert for River to Pear. So it's an extremely wide easement, and we're basically building up as close as we can to it without impacting the easement or access to it for MSD. So we're very much confined within the plans by that easement.
Thank you.
Anyone else with any questions? Councilmember Klein.
Yeah, I just have a comment. The other second ward council member, Tim Cusick, and I have discussed this several times, and we're both really excited to have this property taken off the or put on the tax rolls. We're really happy with how you've made the arrangements to work on that difficult property and your efforts to beautify on both sides. We're just really excited about this becoming part of our city and our ward. Thanks.
Any other questions? All right. What I will say, and it's my turn to speak, and as Councilmember Clay alluded to, and as Crescent Plumbing and Opus really know that I'm the one that's opposed to what's happening with this, only because of the configuration. Again, what I wanted to say to Crescent Plumbing is congratulations for the site. I really appreciate you bringing that business to University City. Again, the problem I have is the configuration, but what I will say is this, and I really want to hold you to this, and that is that if we build this the way it's configured, I want to hold you to really helping me, myself, my colleague, Councilmember Clay, and this city to develop that north side of Olive. Because if we can do that to offset what you're bringing in reference to this wall, that would be appreciated not only by myself, Councilmember Clay, but this city and the Third Ward. So I just wanted to leave it at that. And I'm hoping that you guys will really work and we can work together to actually develop that north side of Olive. Thank you. If there be no other questions, and again, Dr. Wagner, thank you for your help and understanding the situation. Is there anything else, sir?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Rose, is there?
Nope. Mayor Pro Tem.
Nope. May I get a motion to approve Crescent Plumbing Plan? Councilmember Klein, and second by Councilmember Clay. Any discussion? And we've basically already had that. All right. All in favor of approving this, all say aye. And I will say aye. Any opposed? None. All right, then that is approved. We will move on. Thank you. Okay. Unfinished business. And we have Bill 9470. This is, may we get the second reading, Ms. Reese.
Bill 9470, an ordinance to authorize the city manager to execute a contract between the City of University City and the Missouri Highway and Transportation Commission, providing for the Pershing Avenue Improvement Project.
And a third, please.
Bill 9470, an ordinance to authorize the city manager to execute a contract between the City of University City and the Missouri Highway and Transportation Commission, providing for the Pershing Avenue Improvement Project.
A motion to approve by Councilmember Hales. Second is Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? No discussions. Ms. Reese, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Aye. Okay, we'll move on to Bill 9471. And may we have the second reading, please?
Bill 9471, an ordinance authorizing amendments to the employment agreement between the city and the city manager, Gregory Rose.
Third reading, please.
Bill 9471. An ordinance authorizing amendments to the employment agreement between the city and city manager Gregory Rose.
Motion to approve. Councilmember Klein. And the second is Councilmember McMahon. Any discussion? No discussions. Ms. Reese, would you call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Aye. And that bill has passed. All right, we'll move on to new business. There's no resolutions. And we have three bills that we need to read. Bill 9472, who would like to introduce? Councilmember McMahon, may we have the first reading, please?
Bill 9472, an ordinance amending section 400.2140 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to the schedule of off-street parking space requirements by establishing a minimum parking requirement for retail stores with more than 45,000 square feet of combined space.
Thank you. Who would like to introduce bills 9473? Councilmember Hales. And may we have the first reading?
Bill 9473, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 6801 Del Mar Boulevard.
Thank you. Bill 9474, who would like to introduce? Councilmember McMahon. May we have the first reading?
Bill 9474, an ordinance approving a final development plan for the proposed True Hotel development located at 711 Kingsland Avenue.
Thank you. Before we move on to council reports and businesses, I want to make sure that I believe, do we have another citizen that wants to speak? Thank you, sir. Okay, we have Steve Glickert, who wants to speak. And please, again, remember that you have 5 minutes. Please hit the button so that we can hear you clearly and state your address. Thank you, sir.
Steve Glickert, 7750 Blackberry. Hey, Mr. Rose, you removed a car. How about that? No accolades or no applause. It was located in the very area that I've talked about for 4 years. That car sat there for 6 months. On the street, it had fenders hanging off of it. The rocker panels were hanging off of it. It had no license plate, two flat tires. The front suspension was collapsed and the window was blown out. And it was completely surrounded by debris, like a murder victim with the paint around him. 6 months to notice that. I guess you need a neon sign also. This just goes typical of what you've provided and your lack of response to me. And in addition to that, with all the activity going on at 170 and Olive, there has to be multiple inspections going on there. Visits, you might be curious to go look at the progress. Right across the street on Woodson, look at the first three streets, or three out of the first four streets, Elmore, Richards, and Appleton. The cars are parked in the backyard, tires, debris. There's a pool there that has collapsed over the last 2 years. It's been sitting there, probably breeding mosquitoes. It's not fenced. It's not, doesn't have a locked gate. Some little kid could have drowned. But you don't see that stuff. I don't know what you do. You sit up here making your videos in an aesthetically pleasing room. Why don't you take it out on remote and show that background while you're doing your videos with your department heads? Show everybody the true look of this city. You're worried about a wall. We talked about this before, you and Mr. Smotherson with Crescent Plumbing. Have you driven into the Northeast Corridor on a regular basis? I was there on July 2nd, 58 cars parked in their yards, no licenses, in vacant lots. That doesn't even touch the fences collapsing, the garages collapsing, the overgrowth. I haven't even expanded on that. I keep coming up here and you don't reply to me. You don't answer my question. I'm going to submit this code again on why you're not utilizing. You've never called me back. You've never responded. You got my email. My phone numbers are on that form to speak. And 2 weeks ago, Mr. McMahon stood up here on the council comments and said that he emailed his councilman or council members before he's a council member and didn't get any reply. I've emailed you 8 times and I've been up here five times asking this question. You said that this council responds. 13 times I've asked this question. No reply. You've been sitting here the whole time. Every one of you have heard this. Call me. Let me know what you're doing. Because the same violations sit there day after day, week after week, and it just grows. Now it's out near your project. That's going to be great to look at for people coming into our community to shop at Costco, to look at that dump. And you need to get to work. I'm tired of mentioning that to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Glickert. And we will move on to council reports and business. If any of my colleagues have any reports, or and we also include council comments. Mr. Hales.
Are you suggesting we're combining council comments, or this is just, okay. Thank you. So I just want to thank all of the members of the Visioning Task Force, and particularly Ms. Holly for her presentation. The level of work that went into it is pretty extraordinary. And as liaison to the Plan Commission, I know that Peggy is chomping at the bit to start the planning process. And this is a really important, important first step that kind of provides the guidance and kind of framework for them to move forward. And I also want to recognize another Plan Commission member, Ms. McQueen, who is here again tonight. It's always nice to see our commissioners and task force members engaged in coming to these meetings as well.
Okay, any council comments? All right, well, Mr. Rose, yes, sir.
I did want to recognize Assistant City Manager Don Beasley, who probably thought her work was over tonight, but still a bit more to do with the Visioning 2040 report. So just wanted to recognize her efforts in coordinating with the task force as well as with the consultants. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rose, and thank you, Ms. Beasley. I did, if there be no other comments, I have my own comments, and this will be before we adjourn to a closed session. I wanted to say to my colleagues and those that are the ones that are listening and ones in their absence, and I just simply wanted to say something, being probably the oldest on this council, and I'll be even older in 2 days. So, and I will say this. Medicare, here I come. I will be 65 in 2 days. So, but anyway, one of the things that I actually seriously wanted to say to my colleagues, and that is that I am really trying, I'm going to be positive. I want to say this, that this council is on the verge of greatness. And I say that, and so, and the reason I say that is this. So because of that, and because of what's happening in this city, there is absolutely no need for this council to go back in the past and blame others for what they've done or talk about a previous administration or a previous mayor. None whatsoever, because there is no other council. And I'm not old enough to go back to the 40s or 1904. And I understand, you know, E.G. Lewis started this, and that was probably one of the greatest things. But what I will say is what we're on the verge of with the development at I-170, the development at Del Mar, and the developments that are at Del Mar and 170, and the developments that we're working on, including Crescent Plumbing, we are on the verge of doing something that's permanent and generational. And so we really need to think forward, move forward, and really think about what we're doing. One of the things that I will say is that the nemesis for this council is probably my biggest nemesis, is the police station. And I will say it this way, that I want this council to be great. I'm on this council. So I will work my hardest to make this council great. And again, I don't think that we need to go back to anything. We need to think forward, move forward. We're doing some awesome and wonderful things for this city. And that's the end of my comments. We are going to closed session. May I get a motion to go into closed session? I'm sorry, Councilmember Hales.
Thank you. Before we did do that, I didn't want Steve to get out of here without wishing him a happy birthday. Kind of forgot about it. I intended to do that, but happy birthday, Steve.
Okay. All right. All right. May I get a motion to go into closed session? Councilmember Clay. Second is Councilmember McMahon. All right. Any discussion? None being. Ms. Reeks, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Did that say discussion or did what? Yes. Oh, I do apologize. Okay, oh, I do apologize. All right, here we go. Let me see if I can see this. Okay. We're going motion to go into closed session according to the Missouri Revised Status Statutes 610.2021. One, legal actions, causes of action or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communication between a public governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. So again, motion to go into closed session was, we already took care of that. All right. That was Jeff, Councilmember Hales, and second by Councilmember McMahon. No, any discussion? No discussion. Ms. Reese, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson.
Aye. Thank you all. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.